So Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, this is on page 1042 is the page number in the church Bibles. And I'm going to read the first 13 verses. So Luke chapter 11. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation." Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door's already locked. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Amen. And as always, we pray that the written word, the words that we read on this page, might become for us the living word of God. So today, beginning a new series of reflections, "Lord, teach us to pray." And we see that right there in our opening verses. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And so in these next few weeks, we're going to be reflecting on what we know as the Lord's Prayer. We might better call it the disciples' prayer, because it was given by Jesus to his disciples as a model prayer for them to pray. Now, the Lord's Prayer, this particular prayer, is found in two places in our Bibles. Here in Luke 11, this is a shorter version, and then also in Matthew chapter 6. So what I'm going to be doing, I don't know if this is cheating. The preachers are allowed to cheat, but because there are two Lord's Prayers, two versions of the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6 version is slightly longer. It's interesting that Luke doesn't shorten the line about forgiving. "Forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us." That's not shortened. Everything else is a little shorter. But what I will be doing during this series of reflections is I will kind of be melding the two together, and effectively I'll be reflecting on the Lord's Prayer that we are really familiar with, that we prayed earlier, but it will be the two together. And so our verses that I'm going to focus upon today. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say." Now, we pray because.
dot, dot, dot.
Now, I'm going to focus our attention really specifically upon the verses that I've just put up, those opening two verses, to answer this question, so that we can focus here and say, okay, in light of what we read here, why do we pray? There may be a million and one other reasons why we pray, but we pray, according to what we glean here, for two reasons. We pray because Jesus prayed. That's always a good reason. We pray because Jesus prayed, and we pray because prayer forms us. Now, I'll unpack both of these in just a second, but two good reasons that we glean from those opening two verses. We pray because Jesus prayed, and we pray because prayer forms us. Somebody was speaking to me from over there. Okay, so let's begin here. We pray because Jesus prayed. Now, it's without doubt that when we read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we discover that Jesus prayed. And in our passage today, one day Jesus was praying. The disciples were very respectful. When Jesus finished, they spoke to him. They didn't interrupt his prayers. But one day Jesus was praying. But when you have a look at the key times or places, situations where Jesus prayed, it's interesting what comes up, as I say, if you look across all of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, I mentioned earlier, Jesus prayed in thanksgiving. That was something that Jesus did. And we pray because Jesus prayed. So a model for us is that of thanksgiving. And as I mentioned earlier, particularly Jesus prays when there's food around. When God provides. When God provides bread enough for everybody, when God opens the eyes of the disciples and not the apparent wise people, Jesus gives thanks. Thank you, Father, you open their eyes. But those so-called wise, they just don't get it. Jesus is thankful for what God does. Jesus prayed most often alone. Most often, Jesus prayed alone. I don't know how you feel about praying. It may be that you feel more confident when you're with others and you pray. But the example of Jesus is that he liked to take time out and be alone when he prayed. He liked to get up early in the morning. He liked to stay up late at night alone. Most often without his disciples. And of course, there are times when he does pray with other people in hearing. But the one that stands out is that he prayed alone. Prayed up mountains. Don't know if you've ever noticed that about Jesus' prayer. I don't know how you feel about that as an example. But Jesus prays quite a lot up mountains. Not only is he alone, but he seems to go up mountains to pray. On one occasion, when he prayed with others, he took Peter, James, and John with him. And Jesus goes up a mountain to pray. And it's while that he's on the mountain praying that something extraordinary happened to Jesus that we know as the transfiguration. He begins to shine with the light of heaven, and Moses and Elijah appear also shining with the brilliance of a heavenly light. And Jesus and Moses and Elijah are seen to be talking to one another. But Jesus goes up a mountain. Now, within the tradition of the scriptures, and particularly the Old Testament scriptures, if you wanted to meet God, guess where you went? Up a mountain. That's where you met God. Now, you know, there are other examples when Jesus met people in the very low places. But If you wanted to meet God, you went up. Moses goes up a mountain in order to receive the holy law from God. And Moses meets face to face with God. Elijah had some extraordinary experiences in his prophetic ministry. And on one occasion, it's recorded in 1 Kings 18, Elijah goes up a mountain, and it is there in that place that he has a challenge, almost a duel, against the prophets of the false god Baal. And you'll remember how that turned out. And after that, the queen in that place, Queen Jezebel, who worshipped the false god Baal, was so angry at what Elijah had done, she put a price on his head and said, "I want him killed." And Elijah, even though he had seen the power of God at work, he runs for his life. And essentially, he goes and says, "Woe is me. Woe is me. You know, my life's undone. It's terrible," and so on. And God meets him. But then Elijah says to God, "I want to see you. I want to meet you." And Elijah was directed, "Go up the mountain and wait." And there was a great wind. God wasn't in the wind. There was a great earthquake, not in the earthquake. There was great fire. But God was not in the fire. But after the fire came the still, small voice of God speaking to him. And so there is this tradition, as you read through, of meeting God up a mountain. I don't really know how we connect with that, but just that awareness, there may be for us those places where we have met with God, places where we go, and it feels as though in those places we are close to God. And it may be that for us, not only are our prayers in the example of Jesus, those of thanksgiving, or we pray alone, but maybe not up a mountain, but we go to a place where we have experienced God. I may have told the story before of being with a friend on the island of Lindisfarne off the Northumberland coast. A good friend called Andy, who lives with his wife on Lindisfarne, brought his children up there and so on. And I went for a walk with Andy one time. And we were walking around the site of what was the ancient Lindisfarne Abbey. And I said, "Andy, I've heard about some places, some prayer spots that apparently, Andy, you know, the monks from the abbey used to go out of the abbey and they used to sit in these little places around the island to pray alone." And he went, "Yeah, we're pretty sure we know where some of these spots are." And he took me, it's pretty dangerous, you know, round part of a cliff, and then we had to climb up a little bit, and there, almost cut out of the rock, was this perfect little nook. And we went and sat, sheltering from the weather, in this nook in the cliff. And he said, "A couple of years ago, the BBC were filming on this island." And he said, and Andy was involved. And after they had filmed, one of the technicians had, they had time to spare because, you know, the island's cut off twice a day because of the tide. They had to wait for the tide to go down. So one of these technicians went for a walk. And Andy said he came and sat right here and he had a profound experience of God. He wasn't a Christian, no faith at all, but he happened to sit here and had a profound experience of God. And he ran to find me to say something weird's happened to me. Now, I don't know what you make of that sort of story, you know? Yeah, I'm just telling it as it was told to me. But it may not be up mountains for you, but for Jesus, there was something about going to places where he met with God. And it may be that for us, we have those places where we go to, where we are aware of the presence of God. Okay, next thing that stands out is Jesus prayed for extended periods. Yes, occasionally Jesus prayed very quickly, but a number of times he goes into the desert to pray, or he goes up a mountain and is there all night. I don't know about you, but just the thought of praying all night, it's just the all night thing. You know, well, you're experienced at this all night thing, aren't you, Simon? You know, street pastors. And Robert, you're good at staying up all night. Robert, you pray all night, don't you? Yeah, maybe that's what Jesus did. You know. For extended periods, Jesus, this is something that stands out in the example of Jesus. He prayed for extended periods. And I'm aware for us, if we are to ask the question, make the request, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach me to pray. Then we will be taught by Jesus how to pray. And it will be in thanksgiving. It will be prioritizing the aloneness. It will be about finding the places where we meet God. It will be about deliberately carving out longer periods of time. And as Robert says, it may be that the extended periods are not praying the whole time as we talk, but it may be simply being in the presence of God. In the presence of God. I was remembering last week I met up with an author by the name of Brian McLaren. I don't know if you recognize the name of Brian McLaren, an American author. Last weekend I bumped into him again. And I first met Brian McLaren many, many years ago at a conference in London. And I was really stimulated and challenged by what he said back then. And after one of the sessions, I said, Brian, would it be okay? Could we have a coffee together? And he said, sure. And then he said, is there something particular you want to say, or do you just want to hang out? And I thought for a moment and said, yeah, I just want to hang out. I just want to hang out. And so a number of us went for a meal together just to hang out. And I wonder whether the extended periods that Jesus spent in prayer, a lot of it was hanging out with God. Just being there with God. Maybe Jesus didn't have much to say, and maybe his father didn't say much either. I remember hearing the story of Mother Teresa being asked about prayer. When you pray, what do you say? Nothing. So when you pray, what does God say? Well, she says, nothing, I just listen. So what does God say? And she said, nothing, he just listens. And she said, if you don't understand that, I can't explain it to you. You see, I think that's a beautiful thing about just being in the presence of God, hanging out with the Father. And that may be the extended period. The next thing that jumps out when we reflect on Jesus' his prayer life, he often went to deserted places. He didn't want to be around people too much. Or maybe do you ever get peopled out? I know some of us do. You get peopled out. And you think, okay, I just need a break. Jesus went to deserted places. But then lastly, of course, we need to mention he prayed for people quite directly. People brought others to Jesus for prayer, for blessing, for healing, for deliverance, for forgiveness. Jesus, when he was presented with need, he prayed, and he was quite specific and direct in that. And all of this, if we are to make the request, and I can't guarantee that we will all make the request, but if we do make the request, Lord, teach us to pray, then I think this is something of what Jesus will direct us to. And note as well, the request is, Lord, teach us. It's not, Lord, teach me to pray. Teach us. How do we do this together? Okay, so we pray because Jesus prayed. We pray because prayer forms us. Now, if I go back to the passage we had up at the beginning. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. When he said to them, when you pray, say. Now, if I highlight those two lines, this is the request. Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. Now, what I find striking here is that the disciples of Jesus, they were Jews. And the disciples of John, because we're told just as John taught his disciples, the disciples of John were also Jews. And here's the thing, they would already know how to pray. As Jews, they would already know how to pray. But they ask Jesus. They say, John has taught his disciples to pray. And we take from that that John has not said to his disciples, look, here's all the Jewish prayers that you're familiar with, that you start and end your day with. No, John, it seems, has taught his disciples a particular way of praying or a particular prayer that is a John's disciples' prayer. That marks them out as John's disciple. And if you or I were to join the group of John's disciples and we said to any of our friends, how do we pray in this group? We'd be told a prayer, or we'd be told a way of praying that was distinct for them. And it seems the disciples of Jesus have seen this. Yes, they've got their Jewish prayers that they begin and end their day and say in the middle of the day. But they're saying to Jesus, the disciples of John, they're marked by a particular prayer or way of praying. Jesus, give us a prayer that is the Jesus disciples' prayer. So that's what they're asking. But then let me highlight this. Jesus said to them, when you pray, so Jesus responds to the request. We want a disciple's prayer. We want a way of praying that marks us out as followers of Jesus. So Jesus says, when you pray, say. Is this a command? When you pray, you must pray this way and no other way? Jesus seems to be saying this particular prayer, this way of praying, is significant for you because you are my disciples. Jesus directs their prayer. Prayer forms us. What we have is the Lord's Prayer. It's the disciples' prayer. It's distinct for a disciple of Jesus, and it's very much directed by Jesus. If you're my disciple, then learn this prayer. Pray this prayer and live this prayer. Yeah? Learn this prayer. Pray this prayer and live this prayer. Because we are changed and transformed as we pray and live this prayer. Does this make sense? Okay? This is a distinct Jesus disciples prayer. Not just any generic prayer. Okay, now I'm going to test you. Okay? Do you remember him? Morph. Isn't he great? Okay. See, there he is. There's Morph. Now, why do I put him up? He's a great character. The great thing about Morph is that he didn't start life like this. Are you aware of that? You know, he didn't come fully formed. Remember this? Yeah. Some of you are looking at me like I'm mad. You see, Morph started as a lump of plasticine. And then he is formed. Was it Tony Hart that used to form? Okay. So Morph didn't start life. He just started like a lump of plasticine. And then he was formed to become who he was. And prayer forms us. The Lord's Prayer forms us. When we become Christians, or better, when we become disciples of Jesus, we are not the fully formed person that we will be. You know, you may not like it, but, you know, we're a bit like a lump of plasticine, you know. And God has got some forming to do with us, because he's going to take the lump of plasticine that is us, and bit by bit, he's going to form us, the person he wants us to be, out of that lump. Change, 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 constant change. How do we get to that change? It is the Lord's Prayer. That as we pray the Lord's Prayer, and as we live the Lord's Prayer, we are formed and changed and transformed. So we don't stay the lump of plasticine, but we are formed and changed and transformed. The Lord's Prayer, how does it begin? Our Father who art in heaven, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. A reminder that we are loved. Sometimes we need to stop and just know, I am loved. Jesus specifically directs us, pray this way. If you're a disciple of Jesus, pray like this, Father. Father. Loved. Unconditionally loved. Father, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then what's the next line? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I've just put these. As we, your kingdom come, where does the kingdom of God begin? Right here. Not out there. The kingdom begins right here. As we pray and as we live the kingdom of God, not only are we loved by the Father, but we come as it were, into the kingdom, and we are humble and we're obedient. And I put in this word just. We live justly. See, Micah, Prophet Micah 6, chapter 6, verse 8. What does the Lord require of you? That you love mercy and you love mercy and act justly and walk humbly with your God? Have I got that the right way around? Act justly and love mercy. But justice is right at the heart of what the kingdom of God is. The Apostle Paul writes at the end of Romans, the kingdom of God is justice and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Justice and peace and joy. So when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, what are we looking for in our own lives for us to live out? We're looking to be humble, obedient, and just. And then what's the next line? Give us this day our daily bread. Content. If we pray those words and we seek to live into those words as a disciple of Jesus, we're saying, help me be content. Help me be content. And for most of us, we're more than content. We have way more than we need. And that's when we begin to look around and say, how can I help somebody else with the stuff I've got and the money I've got and the resources I've got? How can I be generous with what I need or with what I have? And then the next line, you know, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So we pray and we live into this. We are forgiven. And we forgive. And one is dependent upon the other. Forgive us as, in the same way as we forgive. And then the last section. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I've simply put, trusting. And so this is what I'm intending to unpack in the next few weeks. We pray because Jesus prayed. He is our example. And we seek to learn from him if we are open and honest before him. And we say, teach us to pray. Help us to be a people who pray in the way that Jesus prayed. But we also pray, and particularly we pray the Lord's Prayer, because prayer forms us. Prayer transforms us to be more like the people God called us to be. So I'm going to pause there and let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you that you are our loving Father. We hold ourselves before you today. And we say, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray that we might be formed into disciples of the Lord Jesus, reflecting his goodness and his kindness and his justice and his love. Continue, we pray, to speak to us, and particularly, Father, continue to inspire us by your Holy Spirit, that we might know that you are always present with us and you hear and answer all of our prayers. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.